This is the Patriots post-game show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio.
Ready? Back to throw. Play action. Fires down the field. Caught. Tight at the 40. 35. 30. To the inside of the 25. 20. 15. 10. 5. Count it. Touchdown.
The Patriots post-game show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Welcome into the Patriots.com postgame show, live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots fall to the New York Giants 18-17, though I think a lot of good came out of this game, specifically in the first half. And I think that's where you got to focus if you're a Patriots fan coming into this game tonight. Certainly the second half didn't work out the way you planned. But you look at this Patriots club up 17-13 at halftime. Your starters played pretty well, starting with the quarterback, starting with the defensive line, as we saw some new faces from the Patriots, being Albert Haynesworth, being Sean Ellis. And it's a tough one to evaluate when you try to go on statistics or try to go on a score, be it in the first half or even a final score, just given the fact that the Giants played zero starters. But I think this is a building block for the Patriots going into the regular season. And certainly you feel better about that first team offense and feel better about this team going into September 12th down in Miami than you did coming off that loss to the Lions in Detroit 34-10 last Saturday night. And like I said, I think it's a tough one to evaluate, but the starters played, and they look pretty good. And chief among them, you saw new faces on the defensive line. I'm surprised by it. I didn't expect to see Haynesworth. How many times have I said this? I didn't expect to see Haynesworth at any point in this preseason, but I like it. I like the fact that the starters played on both offense and defense and didn't just play but got some extended run because that first quarter took so long. How do you feel about Bill Belichick trotting starters out in the preseason finale? Look, it's a different preseason than it has been. He didn't play anyone in that first game against Jacksonville. So how do you feel about Belichick giving his guys, giving his starters some burn in this final preseason call game? You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Feel free to chime in on either. I told you, I like the fact that those guys played. I like the fact that we saw Brady tonight and that we saw Ocho Cinco tonight. Yeah, I like the fact that the defense was back out there after the Lions game. And I like the fact that we saw some new faces, not just Haynesworth, not just Ellis, but also guys like Vereen, guys like Rozai Dowling. And I thought all of that was a positive takeaway in this game tonight for the New England Patriots, despite falling 18-17. And look, they were outplayed in the second half when it was third and fourth stringers against third and fourth stringers. So that's the way I'd look at this tonight. In the first half, you outplayed the Giants' backups. Granted, makes it difficult to evaluate, but I still think the Patriots can use it as a building block and feel pretty good about themselves, as it is the Patriots.com post-game show with Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Want to run you through the laundry list of what's coming your way tonight. You'll hear from Coach Bill Belichick shortly after 11 o'clock. You'll also hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, probably somewhere around 11:30. And we'll also hope to be joined by a member of the Patriots team. Sounds like it's going to be linebacker Gary Guyton, who had a touchdown called back tonight, if you recall, on a bit of a special teams gaffe from Tyquan Underwood and the New England Patriots. So it sounds like it's going to be Guyton joining us here on the Patriots.com postgame show. Make sure you stay tuned for all of that. Do want to tick through the good, the bad, and the injured tonight, as we do on each and every Patriots.com postgame show. And the good, and again, it's difficult to evaluate, given who the Giants played tonight, but I think it's good, no doubt about it, that you saw Albert Haynesworth and Sean Ellis not only play tonight, but start tonight and be productive. Albert Haynesworth on the very first play of the game, defensively, gets out, collapses the pocket, Patriots force a fumble on the first play of the game. And, you know, you see Rob Ninkovich force the fumble, Patrick Chung fall on the ball and return it almost all the way into the end zone. And that's how the Patriots wanted to start, just how they drew it up. You saw the immediate impact of someone like Albert Haynesworth and the fact that he can penetrate and the type of chaos that he can create in the backfield. You saw a lot of that tonight. You also saw not just Sean Ellis be productive, and he had a sack tonight, but a bit of a window was open into how the Patriots are going to use Sean Ellis. And it looks like as a defensive end, not as an interior pass rusher. And he's been utilized in both roles, but I know Mike Reese pointed this out of ESPNBoston.com. Looks like it's going to be a little bit more of Sean Ellis from his days in Herm Edwards' 4-3 defense for the New York Jets. Looks like how the Patriots are going to use Sean Ellis. And I thought both those guys were productive tonight. Obviously, it was good. They played in the game. Another one that I thought was good tonight, or maybe we should call this one better than the last two preseason games, a loss to the Lions last week and a victory over Tampa Bay the week before that. I thought Brady and Ocho Cinco looked like they were more in sync tonight. Not perfect, but I thought they were more in sync tonight. You saw Brady find Ocho on a 9-yard comeback earlier in the game. And you also saw Brady just overthrow Ocho Cinco on a play down the left sidelines. And obviously you hope that's complete. And if it was, I think a lot of the fears about having Brady and Ocho Cinco on the same page, their communication level, a lot of those fears would have been alleviated. So look, if you still want to gripe, you still want to complain about their communication level, I thought it was a step in the right direction tonight. Brady just barely overthrew Ocho Cinco. And I heard people saying, and I've heard this complaint, that, hey, Ocho Cinco didn't create enough separation, which is why Brady couldn't just drop it into Ocho. I thought that play just missed. So is it a full-on good? I don't know about that. But I thought it was certainly a step in the right direction for Brady and Ocho Cinco in terms of being on the same page. I also thought Matt Slater was in the good column again tonight. 64-yard reception, set up a touchdown, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis' second 1-yard touchdown run of the night. And I thought Slater also showed up on special teams. When you're talking about guys who are on the roster bubble, and I think Slater's been on the right side of the bubble for a long period of time, he's somebody who helped himself out tonight, not just on special teams, but also in terms of being a receiver. He was out on the field before guys like Brandon Tate. So he was getting reps out there earlier in the game. I thought Matt Slater had another nice night tonight for the New England Patriots. That was the good for me in this game.
I think it was, I think we did him well last week by having him on
the
program.
You think that's what it was, Kevin?
And all of a sudden, I see him bolting down the sideline on what, that bomb of a pass that set up the touchdown.
I got to tell you, I think
there was some extra giddy up in him.
You think we got him started? You think that's what it is?
Some extra Adam Jones, a breath of fresh wind in his sails.
He probably just wanted to impress us. That's probably what it was. After he came on the show last
week,
he said, "You know what? I gotta show these guys. I gotta show these guys."
He impressed me last week because I had never heard him speak to the media before. It's not a guy that you often hear from in locker room interviews and on SportsCenter and all that stuff. And he couldn't have been a nicer, more pleasant guy.
I thought he was good on the Patriots.com post game show last week. And I thought he had a good night tonight in terms of helping himself, in terms of guys who are quote unquote on the roster bubble. I thought he did himself some favors tonight. And I already thought he was pretty securely on the roster. Again, it is the Patriots.com post game show live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. I'm Adam Jones, joined by Kevin Collins. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio@patriots.com. Working our way through this game, the bad has to start and end with those backup quarterbacks, right, Kevin? And I initially had it as just Hoyer. I looked at it and I said, well, look at the night that Hoyer's having. And, you know, he was constantly under pressure. He had a couple of fumbles in this game. Didn't really look right. Didn't look comfortable is a good word for it.
He never settled into the game.
And I think when, and this is just without reevaluating and going back and watching anything, but as I was watching the game, I didn't think it was totally Hoyer's fault. I didn't think he had a lot of protection in the game. I thought the offensive line was more at fault when Hoyer was in the game. Kevin, we were just talking about this, watching the end of the game. Mallett, I mean, Mallett was just holding on to the ball forever. So I just think the way that Hoyer looked and the way that Mallett looked, yes, they both struggled. And this, we're talking against second, third, fourth stringers from the Giants. So yeah, they both struggled, and that puts them firmly in the bad category. But I think Mallett was worse. I think Mallett was worse. You just talk about him holding onto the football. Most of those sacks on that last drive, you got to get rid of the ball if you're Ryan Mallett. You have to. No, and that's what jumped out to me at the end of the game.
I'm standing out there on the field watching a little bit of Ryan Mallett, and the clock in my head's going off, standing on the sideline thinking, Jesus.
I'm watching on the TV in the studio, Kevin, and you're like, get rid of the ball. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So
you're setting yourself up for disaster.
I just think, look, I mean, again, they lost 18-17. I don't think anybody's flipping out about the final score. But I just thought that Ryan Mallett, certainly a step
in
the wrong direction.
No, didn't impress.
Certainly a step in the wrong direction in terms of looking comfortable in the pocket, in terms of holding on to the football for too long. I think that jumped right off the screen. I also think it was a bad night for Brandon Merriweather, to tell you the truth. And I know the Patriots were probably just trying to get a look at other guys on the roster. Yeah, the big bang clock. Other guys on the roster, be it Josh Barrett, be it Ahedebo, be it Sergio Brown, guys like this. I just think that I think that's part of it. But the fact that Merriweather didn't play extensively until the second half, until the third quarter, I don't know. I don't take that as a vote of confidence from the coaching staff for Brandon Merriweather. So I had him in the bad category as well as some roster bubble guys. And when I say that, guys like Tyquan Underwood, who I do think was a mixed bag tonight. I think Underwood was a mixed bag. He showed you a little something in the passing game tonight. Few receptions for Tyquan Underwood. He had the penalty on what should have been a kickoff return for a touchdown by Gary Guyton. And I think that was one of the downers here tonight for the New England Patriots. And speaking of Gary Guyton, he joins us here on the Patriots.com postgame show. Gary, first of all, thanks so much for taking the time, man.
Hey, no problem. How you guys doing today?
We're doing well. We're doing well. When you look at this game, Gary, and I know most of the time you were on the field was in that first half. What's your biggest takeaway from that first half?
We're just coming out here trying to get better as a defense. You know, it's still early in the year. It's just not coming together and gel together to be as a defense. That's all.
How much were you looking forward to putting that Lions game from last week behind you?
Well, you know what? That was a game last week. Right now, just a game to look for and look for the next week. So just get out here and have another chance to play a game of football is a great opportunity for me.
Now, tonight for you, you were wearing the green dot on the helmet. How was that?
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Throwing out there and having it in. Getting the calls and help over set the defense. So it was okay.
What's the biggest adjustment you have to make when you're wearing that green dot?
Just somebody talking to you.
How much do you bounce it off guys like Jerod Mayo?
Oh, I love having Jerod on my side. Out there playing with him. Obviously, we came in together. He's a good guy and a good player.
Talking with Gary Guyton, Patriots linebacker, joining us here on the Patriots.com post-game show with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios following the Patriots' 18-17 loss to the New York Giants in their preseason finale. Gary, what happened on that special teams play? You took the touchdown back to the house. You saw it get called back. What was going through your mind on that play?
When I first got the ball in my hands, I couldn't believe it. I let it bounce right into my hands. So after that, all that thing was just run with the ball and score. So running down there and scoring and turn around and they tell me it was called back. I was like, oh, man, I'm tired.
What was the feeling like when you first saw that?
Oh, it was a great feeling. You know, scoring touchdowns, the defensive play is always good to have. So, it was just great running down the field, but it was nothing for it. It didn't happen. So, it was okay.
Now, Gary, you guys are going to be playing the Giants later on this season. How do you balance playing that team later on in the regular season versus playing in the preseason?
I have no idea. We have to wait till that week comes. So whenever that week comes, we'll see how things stand out there.
How about in terms of the Giants not choosing to play a lot of their starters? They didn't, or they just played another game on Monday night. Is it difficult when you know that the other team's not going to be trotting their starters out in this type of game?
I mean, the best thing for me to do is prepare like everyone is playing. So go out there and prepare for the game like I normally do, and I keep moving forward.
How much are you looking forward to getting that first regular season game underway on the 12th?
Next week is the next game, so one game at a time, one week at a time. So we're playing football right now.
Said one game at a time, one week at a time. What's your biggest focus personally going into that first game?
Moving forward is the next game, the biggest focus. Right now, football and the next game is a focus for me.
All right, we'll leave it there. He is Patriots linebacker Gary Guyton joining us here on the Patriots.com postgame show. Gary, thanks so much for taking the time, man.
Thank you for having me so much. Thank you.
All right, Gary Guyton joining us here after the Patriots' 18-17 loss to the New York Giants in their preseason finale. And look, I thought in that first half you could see an awful lot of good from both the offense and the defense. Difficult to evaluate, right? Difficult to evaluate. You don't know who's coming in for the New York Giants, and you didn't see Eli Manning, you didn't see a lot of the starters for the Giants offensively or defensively. But I still look at it as a building block type of game for the New England Patriots tonight, and a game where, if nothing else, you just get the bad taste out of your mouth from that Detroit Lions game. You move forward, and I think some of the fears, some of them, we're alleviated. And you can give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio@patriots.com. And I think the fact that you got to look at Albert Haynesworth and you got to look at Sean Ellis, and you know what? They didn't look out of place. The fact that you saw Tom Brady and Chad Ochocinco more in sync, not totally on the same page, certainly not lighting the defense up, but more on the same page, I thought that was a step in the right direction as well. So certainly some good things to take away, especially in that first half where the Patriots had a 17-3 lead at halftime. We mentioned you can email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Basement Phil writes in, I got the feeling that Slater's one big catch was the final nail in Brandon Tate's coffin. What do you think? Well, I will say that Kevin was all over this one a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, we were talking about it after that Jacksonville game. It's like, man, Brandon Tate's got to be sweating his job out a little bit. And it looked worse as we progressed through the preseason, and I thought it became pretty clear last week that Brandon Tate was in an uphill battle for his roster spot. When you looked at Taylor Price getting in the game before Brandon Tate as the fourth receiver, when you saw Julian Edelman replacing him, and not just replacing him in the kicking game, but being productive, I kind of thought last week was that final nail in Brandon Tate's coffin. But you look at it tonight, certainly doesn't help, Kevin, that Matt Slater's getting out on the field before Brandon Tate, and that he's not just showing up on special teams. He is out there on the offense getting reps before Brandon Tate.
Running better routes, getting open, making a difference in the passing game, which is something that you really haven't seen Brandon Tate do since. I'll say that Minnesota game last year where they had that broken play and he busted off a, I don't know, like a 65-yard touchdown, I think, from Brady down the left-hand side, but even that, like I said, is a broken play, and he's just not a good route runner. I think that's what it breaks down to. And it's a shame because we've seen what he can do. When he gets in the open field, he can burn, and he can make some special things happen. But with the new kickoff rules, that puts a kind of a lid on him.
Diminishes his role.
And he just isn't maturing enough to be able to run the precise types of routes and hit the break at the right time, much like Chad Jackson before him, who had great physical skills and great speed, but just couldn't run a route.
Well, and look, you're talking about great speed. I think Matt Slater showed some of that too. And Matt Slater's running better routes, and he's shown you back-to-back games, big receptions from Slater, over 50 yards last week and a 64-yarder this week. So he showed up on offense, and look, Brandon Tate hasn't. Brandon Tate had another terrible kick return in this game tonight. He was 6 yards deep in his own end zone, took it out and got tackled at the 10. And everyone in the press box is sitting there shaking their head going, what is this guy doing? And, you know, you wonder if he's trying too hard to show the coaches something and find a way onto this team. I don't know what it is. But I would say right now, I'd be pretty confident in saying that Brandon Tate won't find a role on this team. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We gave you the good and the bad. Also wanted to pass along the injured from this game. And the most significant one, I would think, is Kyle Arrington going down on the very first play of the game and with an apparent right leg injury. And Arrington didn't come back into the game, which means you got to look at Razai Dowling. You got to look at the new corner, Molden. So you got to look a little bit more into the backfield after Arrington had a tough week, but he did not return to the game with that right leg injury. Also, Sammy Morris and Kudavides left this game tonight as well with what seemed to be concussions, right? Hits to the head, slow to get up. Nothing confirmed by the club, but what appear to be concussions, neither of them returned, and that was pretty much where the injuries started and ended for the Patriots. I'd say mostly of the minor variety this week. When you think back to last week, Kevin, we were freaking out before we knew what was going to go on with Wes Walker.
And positive signs before the game that he was out on the field in game pants and in his jersey, running routes, running around, you know, getting, we'll call it a
Welker, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's, I mean, we know now that he should be out there week
just
one.
Just updating the fans,
but,
though.
But, yeah, no, I think in terms of injuries, they were relatively minor tonight for the New England Patriots. Arrington is one where you put your antenna up because all of a sudden, okay, well, if Bodden's hurt and Arrington is dinged up, and as you just said, you cut Will Height, Butler is on the team. McCourty had a pick tonight on just a total gift, but that means a lot could be asked from Razai Dowling, who I thought was a mixed bag tonight. Yeah. I thought he was up and down.
I wasn't blown away by any
I thought both he and Vereen had up and down nights tonight for the New England Patriots. We'll continue to get to that on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It is the Patriots.com post-game show. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. I'm Adam Jones. We'll be going till just a little after midnight tonight. Reminder, you're here from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up here In a little over 10 minutes, you'll also hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. Luke writes in to Web Radio or Patriots, Web Radio at Patriots.com, I should say. Luke says, "Hey guys, didn't get a chance to see the game tonight. It's not shown down here in Tallahassee. Did the offensive line do better? Did Ocho play? And if so, how well?" So look, Kevin, on the offensive line, I don't think they had a banner night by any means. And what'd they wind up with? 8 sacks tonight? 7 or 8 sacks? So I don't think it was a banner night by the offensive line by any means. But I do think at the end of the game, that sack total was a little inflated because Ryan Mallett was really holding on to that football. And at some point, you gotta get rid of the ball. And that's one thing that Mallett didn't do tonight. So I wouldn't say it was a great night from the offensive line, but I didn't think Mallett, in particular, helped the line out at all. And we already said Hoyer looked pretty uncomfortable in the pocket throughout the night. And to answer the Ocho question, he did play, though not extensively. He was out there for most of the first quarter when Brady was out there. And I did think he looked better. I thought that 9-yard comeback on the second drive for the Patriots, which was really the first drive. I mean, they came up with a fumble on the 1-yard line. And in one play, Green Ellis punched it in. So on that second drive, but really the first extended drive for the New England Patriots, there was a nice little 9-yard comeback between Brady and Ocho Cinco. And you sat there and said, well, okay, that's timing. That's looking like they're more on the same page. I thought that looked right for the Patriots. And then on the next drive, the third drive, Brady just overthrew Ocho Cinco, just out of the reach of his outstretched arms. And I guess you can look at it glass half empty and say, well, if Ocho still had that extra step, he would have created more separation. He would have given Brady more of a window to throw into, and maybe Brady wouldn't have overthrown him by that step. I guess that's the glass half empty way of looking at it. I don't know. I thought Brady and Ocho made progress tonight. Certainly not perfect, Kevin, but I thought it was a step in the right direction. That's why I put it in the good column tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's just good to see him catch a football the way things have been going lately. But yeah, for the limited amount of work they got, no complaints on Ocho tonight.
Yeah, and I just think, again, it's not just that he had a catch. It's the type of catch he had. Like, you could make an argument, just because it was a touchdown, that his catch against Tampa Bay was more significant, but I just wouldn't agree with that. I think the timing play with Tom Brady down that left sideline shows you that the precision is more there with Brady and Ocho Cinco, or it's at least taking a step in the right direction. And I think routes like that are pretty representative of what you're looking for. Timing plays, precision plays, not just wide open on a broken play in the end zone, like his catch was against Tampa Bay. So I certainly thought that was a step in the right direction tonight. The communication and the fact that Brady and Ocho Cinco were more on the same page, I thought that was definitely a step in the right direction, as well as getting our first look at Albert Haynesworth and Sean Ellis. That was at the top of my list tonight in the Patriots' 18-17 loss to the New York Giants. It is the Patriots.com postgame show. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's hit the phone. Zach is in New York, and you're next up here on the Patriots.com postgame show. What's up, Zach?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing excellent, man.
You know, I watched the game tonight. Loved what I saw from the Patriots in the first half. You know, make of it what you want in the second half. The scrubs were in, yada, yada, yada. But the defense looked great. I loved what I saw from Albert Haynesworth tonight and Sean Ellis. The offense looked a little shaky, but I would imagine Tom Brady and those guys would be ready to go. But it was great from what we saw from the past tonight. My question to you guys is, do you think Haynesworth is going to be able to stay in game shape form for a full 16 games and even into the playoffs this year? Thanks, guys.
All right, Zach, thanks for the phone call. He's Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That's the question, right, with Albert Haynesworth.
Let me add, that's a professional caller.
That was
get
good.
Get in.
Boom. Ask the question.
There's your take, and then bang.
Ask the question. Get out. I liked it from Zach. In terms of the conditioning, I think it's an interesting question. And Mike Reese kind of gives his quarter-by-quarter thoughts on the game. And at halftime, this is what he said. I thought this was pretty good. Albert Haynesworth, 9 snaps in the second quarter after 7 in the first quarter. But he did look winded at the end of a 5-stretch play. Or 5 straight plays, I should say. So he looked winded at the end of that stretch. Now look, it's his first game action, so I would say that's to be expected. And the question is, can he make it through a 16-game schedule? I just ask, you know, how motivated is Albert Haynesworth? And you see some of the comments coming out from the post-game locker room, and I'm just monitoring the Twitter sphere here. But Albert Haynesworth said coming to the Patriots is a quote-unquote career saver, and he wishes he came here 2 years ago instead of signing that deal in Washington. That's what he told Mike Giardi. So I think that if nothing else tells you he's motivated. Now, is he going to make it through the season? I don't know. But I would expect him to be in shape, in other words. I don't think his conditioning is the reason he wouldn't get through 16 games. That wouldn't be my guess with Albert Haynesworth. Is he going to take plays off? Probably. Is he going to get some kind of nagging injury? Maybe. And look, he's already been dealing with that knee injury. But I would say from a conditioning standpoint, I don't know. Even if it's in fits and starts or in spurts like we saw tonight, I think you saw the very first play of the game, gets in there, penetrates on the forced fumble by Rob Ninkovich, which Pat Chung returned all the way to the one-yard line. I think you saw it on the Giants' third drive as well, where he got into the backfield and stopped Brown after a one-yard carry. I thought you could see Haynesworth and his ability to disrupt and get into the backfield, and I thought all that was promising tonight from New England. Now, I would say, if he's getting winded after five straight plays, that's not ideal, and I'd readily admit that. But I think the better game shape he gets in, the more he's out on the practice field, I think we'll start to see his stamina go up, obviously. And I don't know. I didn't expect to see him at all in the preseason. So this was a bonus look at him, in my opinion. And look, I was dead wrong on that. How many times have I said this, Kevin, that I didn't think we'd see Haynesworth at any point in the preseason? I thought Belichick would keep him under wraps.
Or Sean Ellis.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd see either. And he'd keep him under wraps, didn't want to show how they're going to be used. And look, just like we now have an idea on how they're going to use, Ellis has an end, Haynesworth right in the middle next to Vince Wilfork, and that doesn't shock me. I told you a couple of weeks ago, he's absolutely going to be the starting D tackle on Monday night in Miami. So you get a look at how these guys are going to be used. And look, Belichick kept it pretty vanilla tonight. Nothing exotic. I know Gary Guyton had that one sack early on in the game of David Carr, but nothing too exotic coming from the New England Patriots tonight. But he did send a notice to the rest of the league. Hey, Albert Haynesworth, this is what he looks like. Sean Ellis, this is how we're going to use him.
Ellis had a sack.
I didn't think Belichick was going to do that. I didn't think Belichick was going to do that, and I'm happy we got to take a look at that tonight. What do you think of Belichick not only playing the starters, but specifically giving Haynesworth and Sean Ellis their first run? You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Coming up next on the Patriots.com postgame show, you'll hear from Patriots coach Bill Belichick following the Patriots' 18-17 loss to the Giants. That's next here on Patriots.com.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It is the Patriots.com postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots fell to the New York Giants 18-17. A final score you shouldn't read into too much if you're a Patriots fan. Don't forget, New England up 17-3 at halftime. Look, if I'm some of those roster bubble guys who played in the second half, especially on that atrocious fake punt that went for a touchdown, especially if I'm one of those guys, I'd be sweating it out. And I said this at the time, I wouldn't have been surprised if Belichick cut that whole unit that was out there on the field at that point. But some of those roster bubble guys who played in the second half, Richard Medlin, I thought Tyquan Underwood was an interesting one tonight. He showed up in the passing game. He certainly flashed in the passing game, but the guy who joined us earlier, Gary Guyton, linebacker for the New England Patriots, had his touchdown negated, wiped out, because Tyquan Underwood gets a penalty. And it was for you know, getting out there and not coming inside the numbers on a substitution on a punt. And that's how Tyquan Underwood got that touchdown called back. So points off the board, that's never going to help yourself out. Same thing with Richard Medlin. Putting the ball on the ground, not going to help yourself out. I didn't think the backup quarterbacks, not that they're on the roster bubble, but I didn't think the backup quarterbacks did anything to help themselves tonight. Mallett held onto the ball too long. Hoyer couldn't hold onto the ball. And Brandon Tate has been a popular punching bag here in the preseason. I don't see how he has a role on this team. But you can give us a call. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email us, webradio@patriots.com. A lot of first looks at some Patriots tonight. Albert Haynesworth, Sean Ellis, Shane Vereen, Razai Dowling. I thought it was a mixed bag on those guys, especially on the rookies with Vereen and Dowling. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. Wanted to hit some of these emails to webradio@patriots.com. Our buddy Dagmar down in Miami writes in, "Hey, Adam and Kevin. I have to start with saying I missed most of the first half of the game. I was out and was unable to watch, but here's what stood out to me in that second half. There seems to be huge issues with ball handling, specifically with Medlin and the new running back who on top of that can't block. Brandon Tate did nothing to help himself. Slater has proven in the long run his value is far more than he was initially given. And to finish, I think we have to mention the inability of Ryan Mallett to realize that he had over 2 minutes to move the ball 50 yards and give his team a chance to kick a field goal. Yes, he was rushed. Yeah, the O-line didn't protect him. But when you open up the drive with a wasted long pass to the sideline when all you need to do is move the chains, things don't look good." So I'd agree with that last part by Dagmar. Kevin, what are you looking for out of these backup quarterbacks? If nothing else, awareness of the situation, right?
Yeah.
And Mallett, at the end of that game, you can't be taking sacks. I understand that the offensive line wasn't doing a stellar job of protecting him. He was under pressure, but he's holding onto the football for too long, and he's taking those sacks. Those are things that would rub me the wrong way, and I imagine rub Belichick the wrong way.
And that's something we didn't even touch on. We were touching on how he was holding the ball too long and all that, but situationally, those are situations in an end-of-the-game situation where you're trying to move the ball down the field to get a game-winning field goal where it's, even if you're under duress in the line, you know, you have a gold rush up the middle through the line, you have to get rid of that ball into the stands.
Yeah, I would also agree with Dagmar's point on the special teamers and some of these guys on the roster bubble. And look, Tate, we've been saying this for a couple of weeks here on the Patriots.com postgame show. I don't see how he has a role on this team. Looks like Taylor Price is ahead of him on the depth chart. Heck, looks like Matthew Slater, who had another long reception tonight, 64 yards. Looks like he's ahead of Brandon Tate on the depth chart. So I don't see how he has a role in the offense. And I don't see how he has a role on special teams anymore. Edelman, despite not playing tonight, certainly has looked better with kickoff returns and punt returns. And I think guys like Matthew Slater are carving out niches on special teams. And look, Slater's been on this team. He's found a way to make the team for the last couple of seasons. So I just think that it was another bad night for Brandon Tate, unfortunately. And I just don't see, you know, how he's going to make this team. And I agree that not just on special teams, but overall in general, Matthew Slater seems to be carving out a role for himself on this club. Emails to webradio@patriots.com. Let's see, that's where Greg in Bridgewater writes in. Adam, I always hated when Dan Marino would blame his receivers every time when a pass went incomplete. Only saw the second half, but I saw Ryan Mallett doing the same thing to his receivers. I don't want to put Mallett in the Marino mold yet, but what are your thoughts? Was he like this in college? And Greg, just to answer that last part, not that I watched Mallett a ton in college, but Mallett seems to be in that mold where, you know, he is overthrowing a guy or, you know, he's waiting on a receiver to get open. And he seems like he has a little bit of that, I don't know, as you said, Dan Marino in him, or a little bit of that John Lackey in him, in terms of not necessarily being held accountable on the field, or even just, you don't want to say showing up a teammate, but almost throwing a teammate under the bus. I think we've seen a little bit of that. I would imagine that dies out, though. The longer he's here in New England, I imagine that that's not going to be tolerated here with the Patriots. So I wouldn't worry about that as much in terms of his attitude. What I would worry about is that lack of awareness at the end of the game. And that goes right back to holding on to the football. I would worry about how uncomfortable, in general, he's looked in the pocket. These are things that, even in that first game against Jacksonville, I haven't thought he's looked totally comfortable. And there are just obvious plays. That BB last week that he threw to Brandon Tate, I think was a play that just jumped off your screen and you go, okay, this guy has a monster arm. Not just a big arm, but a cannon. And you go, okay, you can see some of the physical tools. He had another throw tonight where you sit there and you go, all right, I get it. I get why teams were high on Ryan Mallett. And why some teams thought, hey, there's a chance this guy could be not just a first-round pick, but a high first-round pick. And then some off-field issues caused him to drop, and the Patriots pounced on him in the third round. But I think you've seen flashes from Ryan Mallett, but nowhere near the consistency from Ryan Mallett. I got to tell you, I've been disappointed in Brian Hoyer as well, Kevin. That first preseason game, liked what I saw out of Hoyer. But on balance, starting with the Tampa game where he came in just for a couple of series, didn't show you much, and then tonight, going against mostly second and third stringers again, like he was in the Jacksonville game. I don't know. Not to say that they're going to cut Hoyer, no. But remember after that Jacksonville game, we're talking about, hey, maybe you can flip Hoyer for a high pick.
Yep.
I'm not saying you definitively can't do that now. And don't forget, Matt Cassel looked like crap in the preseason for a couple of seasons and then came out, filled in for Brady in the regular season in 2008 and opened some eyes. So I'm not saying Hoyer couldn't do that. But at this point, when his stock was way up here and I've got my hand over my head for the Jacksonville game, it's certainly come back down these last three preseason games, and tonight was representative.
Here's my question. God forbid, week and a half from now, Monday night in Miami, Brady goes down. I still think you're looking at Hoyer.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well,
absolutely.
But here's what I have to say about that is what we were just talking about. His stock has kind of fallen over the past couple of performances in the preseason. Giving Mallett, by the way, Mallett having a lot of playing time, giving Mallett the chance to kind of, I won't say take over that spot, but definitely compete for that number two spot. And he really hasn't done anything.
No, I think he's been given that opportunity,
yeah.
Sure. And I don't think either have shown anything, but I think Mallett has shown you some scary things, and I think the end of that game was part of that tonight.
Yeah. And I think he's probably going to be pretty disappointed himself that, hey, they gave me a shot to compete for this position, to be the backup, to be the guy. And
he had a chance for a game-winning drive tonight, Kevin, and he couldn't even advance the football.
I took a leak down my leg is pretty much what happened.
It is the Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones, also Kevin Collins here live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Let's hit the phones. Jat is in California, and you're next up here on the Patriots.com postgame show. What's going on, man?
Hey guys, I'm actually really concerned after last couple of games because we don't have our defensive pass rush. Our offensive line is actually not good. Our secondary is not; it's still developing. And if you take out Tom, I think we can. I still think in this season we might actually there are chances that we can even go 8-8. What do you guys think about that?
I'm sorry, just that last part. Without Brady, you wonder if they could even go 8-8.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's a fair thing to wonder, and thanks for the phone call, Jot. 508-298-0398, that's the Ace Ticket hotline. Well, I think that's a fair thing to wonder. I think you're selling the team a little bit short, to tell you the truth. In fact, I did this earlier in the week on ESPN Boston Radio from noon to 2, which I do in the neighboring studio here at Gillette Stadium.
Double dipping.
Kevin Collins gets to look into that other studio.
A romantic candlelit dinner with your other sidekick. I get little bit jealous.
It is pretty intimate in there, right? Pretty intimate.
And I'm not gonna lie, I get a little jealous.
It's got the red walls. It's got the red walls. It's got stuff hanging in
You're
there.
Right next to each other.
It's a nice setting in there. I'm not gonna lie.
It's good stuff.
But I did a lot of this from noon to 2 on ESPN Boston Radio Monday through Friday. Where, look, the question on SportsCenter was over-under Patriots victories, 12. I said over, and I feel all right about that. If I have to take an over or an under, I can't take that number 12. I'd lean more towards over. So I think 8-8, even without Brady, would be selling this team a little bit short. The pass rush is an interesting one, though, because, Kevin, I remember a couple of weeks ago, we're sitting here just praising the pass rush after that Tampa Bay game. We're looking at it and going, wow, this is the kind of Andre Carter, I get it now. They've unleashed Jerod Mayo. Look at this pass rush. And I think that's come down to earth these last couple of weeks and maybe had people balance it out a little bit, balance out their expectations for the defense. But look, the way I would tell this to you is coming into this season, I had high hopes for the offense, and I was hoping the defense would improve from last season. I wasn't expecting the defense to be a top unit in the league, and I think we've already seen that. And I thought when starters were in the game tonight for the Patriots, granted, and again, I can't say this enough, they're going against Giants backups, but they didn't look bad. I mean, the starters tonight looked good for the Patriots, so I don't see how you can be overly worried about what you saw out of the defense tonight. I thought Haynesworth and Ellis looked good. I think that's a step in the right direction, and you saw what those guys look like when they're in the base defense.
Yeah, the one play I had my heart in my mouth is when Chung came off the field, especially after what we went through this week cutting James Sanders and just the lack of depth there. But
So you're right. We told you what the injuries were, and Arrington really was the headliner tonight, Morris and Koudavides as well. But I was a little worried about the Chung one as well. And look, he came right back onto the field, but that was one where you sat there and you got a little scared and you said, okay, what happens if they lose Pat Chung, as you just said, Kevin, after cutting James Sanders? And the fact that Merriweather doesn't even play until the second half, I think that's I think that's something that would have been a little worrisome, and a lot of Patriots fans probably breathed a pretty heavy sigh there. But you know what? He stayed out on the field, and he was able to come back into the game.
He played really late into the game, which was...
They don't have bodies out there. That safety position. This is one thing, and we haven't spent a lot of time on this, and we can get into it in a little bit. I do want to play Bill Belichick from the podium. But why now with James Sanders? And the thing I keep hearing, well, his salary cap number is a big one. It's almost $3 million bucks. And I would agree with that. It is a big number. But it's not like it's changed. It's not like it's gone up since the beginning of the offseason. So why now? Why, when you're thin at that position, why cut him? Does it tell you the Patriots are doing something else in terms of either bringing in another player? And I would expect that to be a lower-level roster player, especially now that cuts are coming. Let's see. Let's see if they can sneak somebody else in here. So I would allow for that. I think it's more likely they ink somebody up to an extension. And I think that's more what they were trying to do by cutting James Sanders. What are they going to do with that $12, $13 million in salary cap space? It's an interesting question. We'll continue here.
Didn't take long for him to catch on somewhere.
No.
Pretty much 24 hours.
No, that's one thing where... Any Patriots fans? And look, I was never the biggest James Sanders guy. For me, he was okay. Didn't hurt you, but I really don't think helped you much either. Certainly didn't make a ton of plays here outside of that interception against the Colts last season. You know, what were big game-changing plays that James Sanders made? He was a safe guy in the secondary. I get it. But I wasn't losing sleep over cutting James Sanders. But you can't really say he's lost a step, or at least it's difficult to say he's lost a step when the Falcons pounced right on him and the Chiefs were lined up ready to go next. And these are two guys, Tom Dimitroff and Scott Pioli, who have a connection with James Sanders. So, yeah, I would say that doesn't look great if you want to go with the James Sanders has lost a step camp. Give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio@patriots.com. It is the Patriots.com post-game show. Adam Jones, Kevin Collins here live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots fell to the Giants 18-17 in their preseason finale. Let's go to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Oh, you know, I'm sure there were some good things and, you know, some things we could have done better. You know, we'll look at the film, make the corrections, and, you know, move on like we usually do. Yeah, we had several guys out there that hadn't played in preseason. We got a chance to play them today, so, you know, it was good for them to get a little action. And, I'm sure that'll benefit them. Yeah, it's just, yeah, that's a different tempo than practice. I don't think you can ever tell. It takes about 3 or 4 regular season games, so I think you really know what you got. You know, without any game planning in preseason, you know, it's hard to tell. I don't know. We'll do the best we can to make up the team, and, you know, put together the best squad we can. But, you know, there's always a lot of player movement this time of the season. Last year we traded for Tracy White. You know, we were even talking about him after the game last year. So, you know, things like that happen. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it was that important. You know, he's a big corner, athletic guy, can run. Played in a kicking game, so. I don't know. He's only been here one day. Flew in last night, so. Only had him for one day, but he did a, you know, pretty good job just, you know, being out there and being competitive at corner. So I really don't have any idea. Well, you know, Josh is a big, you know, he's a big safety that can run, that has some experience, played in the kicking game, played defensively, both down in nickel defenses and also back in safety. You know, for the Broncos, obviously didn't play last year. So, you know, he's had opportunity to practice the last couple of weeks. And today he had a chance to play tonight, so it was good. It was good to get all those guys out there tonight that, you know, haven't played this year in games.
What were your feelings
moving
to a lot of people and just going to be a part of that as well? Just, do you have a chance to...
Of course we saw the servicemen march out there and be there for the national anthem. I mean, yeah, it was very moving. I mean, I think we all, you know, remember that day and that season and the way that season started, and, you know, with Joe and his brothers coming up, and you know, it was a very emotional season. Brought back a lot of emotional memories. Yeah.
Remember Joe's
part? Yeah, sure, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Joe was, you know, Joe's always, you know, been a great teammate and warrior for, you know, for this organization, and you know, and what he and his family and their extended family, you know, in the New York, you know, firefighters, you know, all of his friends and associates there. I mean, that's an extended family, so. You know, our hearts went out to him and his family during that time, and still is a great appreciation for all the great work that they continue to do, as well as our servicemen that were there representing, you know, all the servicemen that, you know, defend us and give us a chance to live the free lives that we do. So, yeah, I mean, anytime we can show tribute to them, it's, you know, it's more than well deserved.
Like
the first time out, you know, trying to evaluate everybody, including the veterans. I think, you know, what veterans did last year is, I mean, that's great, but that's last year. It's really where they are now and what they can contribute to this team. And so I think they have to prove themselves just like the rookies do. They have an experience advantage, but, you know, they still have to go out there and show what, you know, what they're able to do. And they're competing for playing time as well as roster spots. So, you know, I think it's really the same for everybody. You know, we're trying to evaluate the entire team and not just the individuals, but also how it fits together and how the team will be comprised, because we need a lot of different people to do different jobs, different roles on the team. And, you know, we'll see how we can work all that out. Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, that some of that's reflected by the way it was played last week. So we want to see different people with different people on our team and against different people on with our opponents. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You just evaluate the way they play. I think that's the most important thing is to look at what the players do when they're on the field and on the practice field and in the game field and evaluate their performance. And that's what we try to do, you know, whether it's early, late, or in between, or whenever it is. I thought he was a tremendous example for the younger players. He had a great attitude, great work ethic. Very professional. I think he added a lot to our team in those 2 years. You know, as you said, he wasn't able to contribute as much on the field as he or we would have liked. But as far as being a professional and doing everything, you know, the right way and being a great example to not just the younger players, really all players. I mean, he was exemplary and was you know, it was really a privilege for me to coach him. He's had a tremendous career. He's a tremendous player. And you know, he deserves you know, all the recognition that he'll be getting. See, he was outstanding. Very hard guy to play against, and we were fortunate to have him on the team, you know, for a couple of years. You know, at the end of his career, you know, we've had several guys like that. You know, like the Junior Seos and the Fred Taylors and guys like that. And those guys have, you know, they've brought a lot to us in that, you know, at that time. You know, we're fortunate to have them. Well, it'll be normal for this year. I don't think it'll be normal compared to other years. You know, the way the practices are structured and all that, you know, it'll be quite a bit different than what we've been used to doing. So, but you know, I mean, that's all right. Everybody's doing the same thing. We're all playing under the same rules. So, you know, we'll make the most of our opportunities, hopefully. No, I'd say this game went pretty much the way last year's game did. We've done that in the past. I mean, we play preseason games with 30-some guys not dressed or not playing. So, I think you do what's best for your team. And that's what I try to do. I can't worry about what the other 31 teams do. I mean, it's really, I kind of want to say I don't care, but I really don't. I mean, I'm just concerned about our team. So, the teams can do whatever they want with. Well, yeah, sure. I mean, you know, the guys that haven't played got a chance, you know, number of them got a chance to play today. Sean, Josh Barrett, Marin, Albert, Mike Wright. I mean, so, you know, it was good. Those guys were able to get in there and play. And so, you know, we'll see how it looks. I'm sure that'll, you know, get some hits, get a little, you know, get a little soreness, get used to the contact part of it, get used to the, you know, the game tempo, if you will. You know, practice is practice, and it's great preparation, but there's a higher level in the games. So, yeah, I think it was good for him to get that. The I mean, I don't know where he'll end up. I mean, you know, he's gotten a lot of work in preseason. I think he's going to be a good player. I think he is a good player. I think he's got a lot to learn, like all rookies do. You know, he's playing a tough position, but, you know, he's certainly got the physical and mental qualities and the competitiveness. And, you know, he's a very, very hard worker. He's made a lot of improvement in the whatever it is, 5 weeks he's at here. And he's still got a long way to go. But I think he can be a very good player for us. And if he keeps working hard and continues to improve, which, you know, I hope he will. Okay. All right. Thank you.
It's Patriots head coach Bill Belichick wrapping things up at the podium following the Patriots' 18-17 loss to the New York Giants tonight at Gillette Stadium. It is the Patriots.com postgame show live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the A's Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio@patriots.com. And I think you heard Belichick really address some of the new guys in this game. And that's really, it's the big takeaway from this game tonight. You got your first look at Albert Haynesworth. You got your first look at Sean Ellis. Heck, you got your first look at a couple of these younger players on the roster, be it Shane Vereen, be it Rozai Dowling. And I think specifically those two guys had up and down nights for the Patriots. You saw Vereen a little bit of his shiftiness, though you also saw Vereen maybe dance a little bit too much. And I do think it was a real mixed bag for him in particular. When you talk about Vereen's night, penalized for a chop block on his very first play, a run for negative yards, couldn't convert on a fourth and one, missed a blitz or a block on a blitz. But look, you also look at Vereen, had a 14-yard run. That chop block, yeah, it was an illegal play, but he picked the guy up. Looked like he had the presence of mind to at least be there to make the play, which I think is a positive thing for a rookie running back. And he also had a nice catch out of the backfield. So I think you work your way through Vereen's night and you say, okay, up and down, but the talent there is pretty apparent. I also think Rozai Dowling was up and down as well. And look, he was thrust right into the starting lineup, and I don't know how much of that was a plan from the coaching staff tonight or how much of it was Arrington going down on the very first play, the kickoff. So it's hard to really get a good read on that. I think we would have seen extensive action from Rozai Dowling either way. And, you know, the one time where I really looked at Dowling and said, ugh, that wasn't not the greatest play out of him was on the Giants' fourth drive, one of the last drives, or their last drive, of the first quarter, right before the Lloyd field goal, the 48-yarder at the end of the first quarter. Dowling slipped in the secondary. It was kind of a broken play where Carr was running around a bit in the backfield, and he wound up finding Dominic Hickson for a 21-yard reception. Outside of that, I thought Dowling generally was in the right spot. You get a look at him as a bigger corner in this secondary. And you got to wonder, Kevin, we brought this up. If Arrington's hurt, and we don't know, right leg injury, left the game, didn't return. But if he's hurt, we don't know how dinged up Lee Bodden is either. How much are they going to be leaning on Rozai Dowling? And are they going to throw him to the Wolves like they did last year with Devin McCourty? Certainly that worked out. But is it going to work out 2 years in a row? Are you going to catch lightning in a bottle again with Rozai Dowling, just like you did with Devin McCourty last season? So, look, I think the answer to that is yes in terms of are they going to throw him to the Wolves. I think the answer is absolutely yes, especially if Bodden and Arrington are dinged up. Again, you can give us a call, A's Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. That's where Blazer writes in. Hey, guys, love the show. Just want to ask what you thought of the chemistry between Ocho and Tom tonight. And how do you think Albert and Ellis look out there? We'll address the first one first. And we also had a similar email from Ankeet asking, hey, what'd you think about Ocho's performance tonight? So we'll kind of dovetail those two together. I thought Ocho and Brady were more on the same page. And I put that in my good column tonight. We do good, bad, and injured right off the bat during every Patriots.com postgame show. And I don't think it was perfect by any means, but I certainly think it was a step in the right direction in comparison to the Tampa game and certainly in comparison to the Detroit game last week. I think those two made strides, being Brady and Ocho, and I think the best example of that was that comeback route for a 9-yarder down the left sideline. I thought that's an example of precision timing out of this offense, and that's what you're looking for out of Chad Ochocinco, is the timing there. That's the biggest thing you're looking for. So I thought that was pretty promising. I also thought the play down the sideline where Brady just overthrew the outstretched arms of Ochocinco, again, down that left sideline, just overthrew him. I guess people looking at it glass half empty, and I'll admit I'm as guilty of that as anyone. I do that a lot. I just chose not to look at it that way on this specific play. you could say, hey, well, Ocho Cinco, maybe he's lost a step, didn't create enough separation between himself and the cornerback, didn't give Brady enough of a window to throw into. I still think that ball was just a touch overthrown. If it was thrown just a little bit shorter, you're giving Chad Ocho Cinco a better chance to get under that ball. It was just out of the reach of his fingertips. So I had that in the good column tonight to answer the Ocho Brady stuff. As for Haynesworth and Ellis, look, it's tough to sit here and say they're going to be this dominating tandem, given the fact that they went against Giants second stringers. But I do think it's promising that they were on the field. And that's the way I'm characterizing it. And look, they certainly didn't look out of place. Ellis had a sack, lined up at left end, and very easily could be your starting left end come the beginning of the season. He doesn't look like he's going to be an interior pass rusher. Looks like he's going to be playing on the outside for the Patriots. I thought that was pretty telling tonight. So he didn't look out of place, and certainly neither did Haynesworth. He was involved right on the very first play when Ninkovich forced a fumble, Chung able to return it to the one-yard line, set up a touchdown. Haynesworth was involved on that play. He was the one who penetrated into the backfield. And we saw Haynesworth do it again on the Giants' third drive of the game. Penetrated into the backfield, hit Brown for a one-yard gain. I thought you saw him as a bit of a difference maker tonight. Again, you have to factor in who it's against. But I was surprised as anyone to see those guys in the game tonight. I didn't expect to see them at any point in the preseason. So I'd put that in the good column tonight as well, just seeing Haynesworth and Ellis out on the field. It is the Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We're going till a little bit after 12:30 tonight here on Patriots.com. You can give us a call on the H-Ticket hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Look, the preseason now over. Looking ahead to that Dolphins game, September 12th, down in Miami, what are some of the big question marks as we approach that opener? I think we started to get a few of those answers in this game tonight, despite the loss to the New York Giants. We'll answer them next here on Patriots.com.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revise.
Cool.
You have to fly to China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! !! Smiley face. Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
This is Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo, and you are listening to the Patriots Postgame Show with Adam Jones and Patriots.com Radio.
It is Patriots.com Postgame Show. Adam Jones here live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots fall to the New York Giants here, 18-17.
What was that their shake preseason of the head, Jones?
What?
You just gave a little...
No, this computer's just creeping.
I thought you were...
Computer's just creeping and crawling. Nothing against Gerard Mayo.
I thought you were hating Gerard Mayo.
Oh, no. No, absolutely not.
Because I'm in that locker room taking grenades, trying to get you some sound here, and you're just like, you're leaving me in the trenches.
No, it's not it at all, Kevin. I'm just giving me that Gerard Mayo, that's all you could get. No, Kevin. No, wonderful job.
Could be a Pro Bowler.
Getting Gerard Mayo. He's a big fan of the show, from what I hear.
Never misses it.
No, in terms of this computer, just trying to pull up some emails, and it's running a little slow. That was my frustration with technology, Kevin, not with your wonderful work tracking down Gerard Mayo. Of course, I'm not going to be disappointed in that. Give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Mully writes in from Pennsylvania. Hey, guys, how do you think Rozai Dowling played tonight? Did he look like he could fill in right away? Did they put him at safety at all? Thanks. And again, that's Mully down in Pennsylvania writing in. I thought, just like with Vereen, I thought it was a mixed bag from Dowling. And I thought Dowling looked better, to tell you the truth. Like, the mixed bag from Vereen, I would say the negatives stood out more. Like, with Vereen, there were some negative runs. There were some missed blocks. There was the chop block for the penalty right on his very first play. Now, I think you saw some flashes as well. And we mentioned that 14-yard run for Shane Vereen. I think you saw some of the shiftiness, especially to the outside. I think you saw the speed from him is pretty apparent, in other words. And he has a sturdier build than someone like Danny Woodhead. So you see that blend. You see that blend from Shane Vereen. And you get the idea why, from an athleticism standpoint, you're looking at it and going, okay, well, I can see where Vereen will have a role on this team. And you can see where, hey, maybe he can work his way up ahead of guys like Green Ellison, ahead of Woodhead.
You could get rid of those dancing feet.
You could see flashes, Kevin, of why they liked him so much coming out of Cal, but I'd agree with that. And look, it's his first game, so you don't want to read into it too much, but you did see some of that. You did see a little bit of the Brandon Tate happy feet.
Yeah, and you just hit the nail on the head. He's catching it from Brandon Tate. It's contagious, apparently.
I think that's what it is.
Did you see that punt return? Tate catches the ball. Looks like he has some space around him, and there's a wedge. And he just makes a left-hand turn and runs directly left from, like, the right, we'll say, outside the right numbers back to about the midfield logo and ran on the 50 or the 45-yard line in a straight line, like he was running a conditioning drill at the end of practice. It was hilarious.
But just before we hit on Tate, because I do, we have a good email here on Brandon Tate that I want to hit on. But with Dowling, I to answer the question, I thought it was a mixed bag. And we cited the play where he slipped in coverage on Dominic Hickson. That was the one play where you sat there and you said, okay, well, I know he lost his footing, but he wasn't exactly close in coverage on that play either. That was the one where you jumped out and you said, okay, a little bit of a worry about Rozai Dowling. But honestly, if you're asking me the question, are they going to throw him into the fire? I just ask you this. Who else are you going to put out there if Arrington and Bodden are dinged up? And Arrington was dinged up tonight. Bodden hasn't played since the beginning of the Tampa game. So what are you going to do, play Darius Butler?
No, here you go, though. Here's the answer to your question.
You going to play Molden?
Hey, he made one more play tonight than Butler made all preseason,
fine,
in my opinion. But here's my thing. The caller, or the emailer in this case, asked directly, can Dowling step in and make an immediate impact on this team? From what I saw tonight, I'd have to say no.
No, fine, but I don't know.
I mean, he might have to if that situation occurs.
We've seen one game. I don't want to sit here and say no, but you're right, Kevin.
From what I saw.
Out of the one game that we've seen, and look, that's all we've seen from Rozai Dowling, my guess would be no. I don't think that's what the Patriots want to be doing.
And to be fair, Adam, if we've seen one game, you can't ask us to judge anything more. Like from what we've seen of him.
Look, the easy way to go about it is to say, well, he's only played one game. We need to see more time. Fine. You're right, though, Kevin. In the one game we had to evaluate, I'd say no. He's not ready to be thrown out there every single play like Devin McCourty was last year. But does he deserve more time before we fully evaluate it? Sure.
I'm not going to put him in the Darius Butler category yet, I want him running out of town.
From what we saw tonight, my answer to that would be no. 508-298-0398, that's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Mentioned I wanted to get to this one on Brandon Tate. Keith writes in to webradio@patriots.com. Okay, I can finally admit Tate will not make this team. But I would like to ask my fellow Patriots fans, why do you think Julian Edelman is any better? Edelman returns kicks really well, but the reality is he either drops or deflects every ball thrown his way. Julian's more of a gadget player. And quite frankly, I'm tired of Belichick recruiting these kind of players that will not win a championship because when the other team's defense figures out the Patriots' game plan, they can't adjust. We need athletes, not spare parts. What are your thoughts? And again, that's Keith writing in to webradio@patriots.com.
That's an interesting take. But I mean, I got to say, how many balls do you see? How many times do you see Julian Edelman targeted?
Correct me if I'm mistaken. The second that Welker left the game, he was immediately targeted on two balls last week.
Yeah.
And Edelman immediately made the first guy miss.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's selling Edelman way short to tell you the truth.
I think it is too. And when he, in the regular season, he's a guy that's not going to get a whole lot of looks. He's pretty much, we've kind of come to the conclusion that he is a special teams player. Can he come in if a Welker gets hurt and be a third or a fourth option? I think he's good enough for that, don't you? I mean, I don't think he's going to step in and be your number one or your number 1A. But for a third or a fourth wide receiver
he would be a vast step down from Welker in the slot.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you anything
you don't know.
But can he go out there and be a backup slot? I think
absolutely.
I think if he's your number 5 or number 6 receiver,
I agree with that 100%.
I think he's shown you a heck of a lot more than Tate.
Yep.
So, I don't know. That's just kind of the way I look at it. Kevin, he clearly has an ability to make the first guy miss. And that's a knack. That's something you have or you don't have. And I think it's pretty apparent Brandon Tate doesn't have that. For all the athleticism in the world, he's great in the open field. But he's not great at making that first guy miss. Edelman is. And I think just given that knack alone, whether it's on special teams or whether it's when he catches a ball in the flat or when he catches a short pass, if he can make that first guy miss, you may be looking at a big play right around the corner. So I just think, given that, he's shown a heck of a lot more than Brandon Tate has at any point this preseason.
And here's another thing about Edelman. When we're talking about running styles, Pac-Man, Edelman...
Stick a foot in the ground and go.
Yeah, and when he cuts up field and gets ahead of steam, he can run through some people. He's not afraid of contact, and he runs hard. He runs almost like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis does. Get out of the way. You know, if you're not anchored in and you're not going to get leverage and go low on him, he's going to run you over. And that's something that I've never seen from Brandon Tate. And to be honest right now, I would rather have Edelman.
How many balls have you seen Brandon Tate catch? Like, Edelman came in immediately after Welker went down and he caught two. The only one that I can remember, and I'll go back and look at the stats, but the only one I can remember is that BB from Ryan Mallett last week that just he stuck it right between the numbers. That's the only reception I remember Brandon Tate making. And that's at the end of a blowout game against Detroit.
And I'm even talking about, like, special teams running Pac-Man. Like, I'd rather have Edelman and his running style returning kickoffs, not even punts, because Edelman's been a punt returner for the majority of his time here, but I'd rather see him returning kickoffs than I would Brandon Tate.
You know what we saw back there tonight? We didn't see him make any returns, but you know what we saw back there tonight for the New England Patriots? Vereen was back there.
That'd be an interesting thing. So, I'd like to see him get a couple reps back there.
So that was one of the things that, honestly, once he was in the game and he came right out for the beginning of the second half, he was on the return team. And I was sitting there going, man, I would love to get a look at Shane Vereen and just see if maybe he can add an element on special teams as well. And I don't know, just from seeing him run the football, I think he showed that he's capable
of that.
He's
got some waggle. I just hope he doesn't turn up like Tate running sideways. All hibbity-dibbity.
All hibbity-dibbity. Won't stick his foot in the ground and cut, just like Julian Edelman will. But that's one of the unfortunate things tonight. I would have liked to have seen him get a kickoff return tonight and see what he could have done.
Now that you mention it, you know, it's your last dress rehearsal. It would have been a nice thing to see him just get his hands on the ball in an open field situation on special teams and see what he could do.
It is the Patriots.com postgame show. Adam Jones, Kevin Collins here. We'll go till shortly after 12:30 tonight. Here on Patriots.com, we're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. That's where David writes in, guys, can Matthew Slater take the place of Brandon Tate? Remember, last year the Patriots offense was not dependent on Tate to stretch the field, but on player matchups, especially with Welker, Hernandez, and Gronk against specific defenses. And there's more to David's email, but I want to address this first part here right now. Can Slater replicate what Tate gave you in the offense last year? And I would interpret that as just being a deep threat. Somebody who, if you fall asleep, can he get over the top of the defense? I don't know if Slater's that kind of guy, to tell you the truth. But what I do think he's shown is he's shown up an awful lot more in the passing game than Brandon Tate has at any point this preseason. I think of Slater as your number six receiver. I think of him as a special teamer first. I know he's made a couple of long catches in this preseason, but I think of him as a special teamer first. So I don't want to overreact to the 64-yard catch and the 50-plus yard catch last week and say, oh, he's your deep threat now. He's your speed guy. Those were both short passes that he turned into long gains.
But still more than the other guys done.
So he's shown more than the other guys, but if you're asking me, do I expect Matthew Slater to be out there in four wide receiver sets being the guy just running deep routes?
He's not going to take the quote-unquote
top off the defense.
He's not that guy.
No, but
he's not Randy Moss.
Was Brandon Tate really that guy last year?
No, absolutely not.
No. So can he even give you what Tate gave you last year? I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to that. I would lean towards no, but I think Slater gives you more in other areas. Special teams being one. You saw the tackle he made after his long reception tonight.
Yep.
So I just think he gives this roster a lot more than just running deep routes like Brandon Tate does.
He just reeks of a Belichick guy. Like, he's one of those guys that Bill loves.
Oh, look, I mean, obviously he's been here too, which certainly doesn't hurt his cause.
The emailer asked, can he take the place of Brandon Tate? I mean, one of us could just get off the fence and say maybe he has taken the place of Brandon Tate.
But I think he was already on the team.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's more like, is it Taylor Price or is it Julian Edelman taking his place?
But can we – I would almost be leaning toward, he's on the team and Tate's not at this point. Like, that's
– No. I mean, there's no leaning. To me, I don't know if Slater's actually taking his place. In other words, I think Tate was more in line for the four receiver.
Okay.
Or the fifth receiver,
that's
right?
Fair.
I think Slater's on the team as a sixth receiver, but really as a special teamer
first.
And I think you've just seen more from Edelman in terms of special teams, the return game, and you've seen more from Slater in terms of making tackles and being out there on every special teams unit. So I don't know that they were in a direct competition is what I would tell you, but I absolutely think that Slater's on the team and Tate's off.
He's like my old friend Sam Aiken. You know, Sam Aiken, I used to call him Clay Aiken, that American Idol guy, just for fun. And he'd play special teams, he'd make tackles, and every once in a while
he'd go make a catch.
In a garbage game or something, he'd get the ball thrown up to him and he'd, catch like a 45-yard pass or a touchdown or something.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. Look, I think if you get any receptions out of Slater, it's icing on the cake. I know he's flashed in a couple of these preseason games, but think of him as a special teamer. And if you think of him in those terms, you're not going to be disappointed. David continues that email. And he says, also, guys, don't worry about the defense. The defense that we should see is the defense we saw against Tampa. Bill just doesn't want to show what his defense is going to look like. Ask yourself, why doesn't he blitz Mayo anymore? Or why hasn't the defensive play calling been as aggressive? The Tampa game was the test for his new defense. Now he knows he has the players with the right skills to execute it. And I'll tell you what, David, I would buy a lot more into that theory if we didn't see Haynesworth or Ellis in the game tonight. I'd buy a lot. Like, in other words, after the Lions game, I was sort of buying into that. I was buying into the fact that Belichick doesn't want to have any tape on this new defense. It's a brand new thing. And teams are going to have to speculate and guess much more than they have in the past when you're lining up against the Patriots when you knew it was going to be a 3-4. You knew what was coming. And I would have bought into that a lot more last week. I did buy into it a lot more last week. But the fact that we saw Haynesworth and Ellis in this game tonight, I don't know. I don't know how much longer you can really go with that theory. Now, in terms of sending Mayo less, sure. But how much of that was a matchup, too? Like, that's the other thing I'd wonder. Like, how much of that is just something they saw on tape with Josh Freeman or something they saw on tape with the Bucs offensive line and you said, you know what, we can really get after this team. So, look, the ultimate test is going to be the first couple of weeks of the season. How much are they bringing Mayo? How much pressure are they bringing? And you saw Guyton get another sack tonight on the fourth drive, that last drive of the first quarter for the New York Giants. It was that delayed sack on third down. They brought the house, and Guyton was able to wrap up David Carr. So you saw a little bit of that. I would concede the point that Mayo certainly has blitzed less these last couple of games. And I thought he had that one play where he came after Matt Stafford last week, and Stafford lofted the ball way up in the air, and Calvin Johnson made the adjustment and was able to come back and make the catch in front of Devin McCourty. That's one of the times that stuck out where Mayo really came after Matt Stafford. I'd agree that the Patriots have brought him less than they did in the Tampa game. I just wonder why. Is it Belichick dialing it back, or was it just strictly a matchup thing against Tampa Bay? And those are one of the things that are going to be answered once the regular season starts, but I'm starting to think it was more a matchup with Tampa Bay. And if Belichick, just ask yourself the question, if Belichick truly didn't want to reveal anything, why on earth do you play Haynesworth and Ellis tonight? If he doesn't want to show any wrinkles, then why would he let those guys play? And I just think that theory, and trust me, I was advancing it these last couple of weeks. I was advancing that theory left and right. But it would tie together a lot more nicely, much more nicely, if Haynesworth and Ellis didn't play in that game tonight. And look, I think that's one of the promising things that came out of the game tonight. Not only did Ellis and Haynesworth play, granted, against second stringers from the Giants, but not only did they play, but they looked right at home. Ellis had a sack, and we started to get some answers to our questions. Hey, where's Sean Ellis going to play? Well, it looks like he's going to be your left end. Looks like Andre Carter's going to be the right end. Looks like Will Fork is going to be next to Ellis, and looks like Haynesworth is going to be at that right tackle spot next to Carter.
I got to tell you.
So I think you started to get some of those answers tonight. And, you know, maybe it's at the expense of a little bit of tape on these guys, but both Haynesworth and Ellis not only looked at home, they made plays. Now you have to factor in who they were against, absolutely. But they made plays, and it looked right. And I would say tonight the defense was a step in the right direction. Don't want to go overboard, because he didn't face any of those first stringers, Eli Manning, or anyone like that. But I certainly thought it was a step in the right direction, just like I thought Brady and Ocho Cinco were more on the same page, more of a step in the right direction. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Kevin.
No, I have to eat my words on this. Remember a couple weeks ago when we were making those bold predictions and you were like, oh, Albert Haynesworth's going to make his unveiling in Miami, and I said he wasn't going to be on the team?
So you know what, Kevin?
I got to sit here and take it like a man.
So you were what?
I was wrong.
You were wrong on that one.
Right.
You know what,
well,
you know what
I'm
I was
not wrong yet.
You know what I was? Well, no,
but
you're
I appear
right.
to be wrong.
It looks like you're going to be wrong on that one. You know what, Kevin? I say I'm wrong all the time. I say I'm wrong all the time. I make those stupid bold predictions.
Good.
I make those stupid bold predictions every Monday on ESPNBoston.com. I make five every Monday. And you know what? Two or three are wrong every single week. I got to come in on Monday and I got to go, okay, I screwed this one up. I was wrong on this one. I'm sorry, right? I come in every Monday and I do that with Haynesworth. I predicted this weeks ago. I said he's going to be your starter week one, but you're not going to see him in the preseason. So you know what, Kevin?
You're so wrong.
I was completely wrong on that.
We're both wrong.
Completely wrong on that. I didn't think you'd see him, and I didn't think you'd see him for the exact reason that David just emailed in. That exact same reason, because Belichick didn't want to tip his hand, didn't want to reveal anything. And you know what? That theory was blown up a little bit tonight because he played Haynesworth and Ellis.
I was kind of glad to see him just because, you know, the guy hasn't played in an NFL game for so long, and with the offseason being what it was and him not having really practiced a whole lot due to either health reasons or the trial, it was good to just see him get out there in a uniform and hit somebody.
I just think for Patriots, you got your first look at a lot of guys tonight. Haynesworth, Ellis, Kareen, Dowling. That's useful.
For those of you,
I didn't expect that coming into this game, at least with Ellis and Haynesworth.
For those of you at the game tonight, it wasn't all that bad. You know, you probably thought, hey, I'm going to be watching the Richard Medlins of the world fumble the ball and fumble the game away.
And you got a little bit of that.
And you did get a whole lot of that, so you were treated to that. But at the same time, you know, you saw Sean Ellis make his Patriot debut. You saw Albert Haynesworth make his Patriot debut. You saw a little bit of Rozai Dowling, some Shane Vereen.
You just get an idea of how it's all going to fit together. An idea of how it's going to fit together. Where are these guys going to be? What's the depth chart you look like? And I didn't think, you don't typically get that in the fourth preseason game with the New England Patriots.
Brandon Merriweather kind of complaining to reporters in the post game about how he doesn't know what his situation is.
I have not seen this.
I've seen the quote retweeted by several of the local beat writers saying,
I got to tell you, this computer's a little slow in here, so why don't you catch me up to
speed? So he's just basically saying, he was probably asked like how he felt now that the preseason's over.
And he said he doesn't know his situation.
As we approach the final cut here coming up on Saturday, and he basically just kind of, monotonely was just like, I don't really know my situation. And to be fair, Adam, if I'm him right now, I don't really know my situation.
I can't sit here and tell you what his situation is. Look, he was on my bad list tonight, and we do good, bad, injured right off the bat on every Patriots.com post-game show. I'll give you my bad list coming up here in just a little bit, or we'll recap the three, the good, the bad, and the injured here, just in case you missed that off the top of the program. Merriweather was on my bad list, and I'll tell you why coming up in just a little bit. Want to hit the phones, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's go to Anthony in Oregon. What's going on, Anthony?
Hey, what's up, Adam? Listen, I'm just listening to the show for the first time, really digging it.
Appreciate it, man.
But I wanted to answer your question and comment a little bit about the idea of Belichick not wanting to tip his hand.
Sure.
I agree with that theory, and I'm going to answer your question and tell you why. The reason why he played Haynesworth and Ellis tonight is because they haven't seen any live game action, period. They needed to get in there and get a feel with it, and I think that he didn't show everything he had to show with that defense, and I think we're going to see it come Monday night in Miami.
Well, Anthony, I guess my question, if the true motivation for Belichick, and I guess this is the way I approach it, and I get what you're saying, game action I'm sure is important for these guys, but I guess if the true motivation for Belichick is to not tip his hand and not let any tape get out on this new defense and, give Miami, among other teams, any ammunition to load up for that first game, if that's the true motivating factor, why show Miami that, hey, this is where Ellis is going to line up at left end, and this is what it looks like with Haynesworth and Wilfork next to one another? Like, why, if that's his main motivating factor, why even tip your hand?
Well, I mean, I think that they've got plenty of tape on these guys. These guys are veterans. They've been performers throughout their careers. So knowing what they're capable of, I think every team's got tape on that. You can't not get any of these guys in there in live action. They got to get the reps. So I think that stuff with like not blitzing Mayo, not doing everything that their starting 11 package is going to be capable of is definitely something that plays into Belichick's mentality.
So, Anthony, I agree with that last part. And thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. And it dovetails nicely with an email we just got to webradio@patriots.com. Tim writes in from Fresno, California. Guys, trust me, Belichick's running a vanilla defense. You'll see the real D in Miami. And that I agree with. I agree with that the Patriots aren't exactly pulling out all the stops on defense. Like, I totally agree with that. I understand that. And that's what I was talking about with Mayo. I think that's been dialed back a little bit. And I would lean more towards what we saw in Tampa Bay. We're not going to see another game like that again. You wonder how much of that was a matchup. You wonder how much of that was Tampa Bay just not being ready for the speed of the game, just like the Patriots weren't ready for the speed of the game last week against the Lions. It's the preseason. Different teams approach these games differently. I mean, I readily admit it's more of a vanilla defense than you're going to get September 12th against Miami. I readily admit that. But I think a little bit of water was thrown on that theory when you talk about Haynesworth and Ellis getting into the game tonight. And trust me, I'm happy we saw those guys in the game. I'm happy to be wrong that we didn't see those guys at any point in this preseason.
It would be great.
What?
They come out 3-4 in Miami, right? And you have something along the lines of like Haynesworth at nose, Big Vince on an end, and Ellis on an end.
That's what they do, Kevin,
Hang on. Vince did get has been shuffled to that defensive end position in the 3-4 before, so it's
absolutely
not out of the realm of possibilities.
I mean, when they first brought in Haynesworth, that was sort of what I was thinking. Either Wilfork or Haynesworth at the end. That's before we knew a lot of the 4-3. So absolutely, it's within the realm of possibility.
I think that would be fitting, though, wouldn't it? And all the reporters.
Belichick's just sitting there rubbing his hands together like, I have them.
All the reporters tweeting, 4-3 this year. The move to 4-3 and writing all these articles. You're sitting there in the press box on opening day and kickoff, first snap.
He's throwing him off the scent.
It's a 3-4.
So,
oh, my God.
So, I don't think that's going to be the case, but we'd come on after that Miami game, Kevin, on September 12th, and we'd have a good laugh about it. I can tell you that right now. But I think tonight is – tonight was an important night in terms of learning the depth chart. And look, call it, you know, call it a tough game to read or a tough game to evaluate, as I said right off the bat tonight. Call it a vanilla, call it just a vanilla game plan. That's fine. But I think you learned an awful lot about the depth chart tonight. Like, what is your defensive line going to look like? I think you learned that tonight. I think it's going to be Ellis, Will Fork, Haynesworth, Carter. I think you already knew to an extent who the linebackers were going to be. You know, it should be Mayo, Spikes when he's healthy, if and when he's healthy. And also Ninkovich. I think you had a good idea on that. I mean, when healthy, I think there are still some question marks about the secondary. That's the one you're not really sure about. But I think the depth chart became pretty clear,
especially
in terms
safety.
Of the defense tonight.
Safety used to be one of those positions here in New England where you just kind of had a wealth of talent, and now it's like, who are you going to see back
so,
there?
So Merriweather's an interesting one, and I want to get into those comments in just a little bit. I also want to give you the good, the bad, and the injured. The big bang clock. I want to give you the good, the bad, and the injured as well, as we'll recap that coming up in just a little bit. The biggest takeaways from this loss to the New York Giants, 18-17. And again, don't read too much into that final score. If you're just tuning in, didn't get a chance to watch the game. Patriots were up 17-3 at halftime, and a lot of good happened in the first half, despite the Giants starters not playing in that game. But we will recap with the good, the bad, and the injured, and our biggest takeaways from this loss coming up next on Patriots.com.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89155 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Patriots kicker Steven Gostkowski, and you're listening to the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio.
Now, Kevin, that head shake from me wasn't at Steven Gostkowski. It was at the technology in this room, the slow-moving computer.
Again?
So finicky in there. You're so finicky.
It's too bad, too, because we're getting some great emails.
I got to tell you, we are getting some quality emails to webradio at Patriots.com. It is the Patriots.com postgame show. Adam Jones with you here for about another half an hour live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us. webradio@patriots.com. And look, Patriots fall to the New York Giants 18-17 tonight here in Foxborough. And we've told you this a couple of times that, look, more positive than negative to take out of this first half, especially in this game tonight. And I know the Patriots weren't exactly going against world beaters from the Giants tonight, but I still think in that first half, a lot more positive than negative to take away from this game. Do want to give you the good, the bad, and the injured, which we do right off the top of every Patriots.com postgame show. And in case you missed it, we'll catch you back up to speed. The top of my list was just seeing Haynesworth and Ellis in this game tonight. The fact that they started the game. And look, I think it's icing on the cake that Haynesworth on the very first play gets into the backfield when Ninkovich forces that fumble. Chung returns it to the one. I thought that was obviously positive. Haynesworth did it again on the third drive. Just like I thought it was positive that Ellis racked up a sack. But the fact that they started, the fact that they were in the game, the fact that you got a look at them makes you feel pretty good going into Miami on September 12th that these guys are going to be ready to go. I also thought the chemistry between Brady and Ocho Cinco was better tonight. Not perfect, but better. And I've used that 9-yard comeback between Brady and Ocho as my prime example. That's not the touchdown to Ocho Cinco on a broken play where he has time to yell at Belichick in the end zone and say, hey, Tom, I'm open. Yeah. Like, that touchdown against Tampa was nothing. That play was nothing. Me, I could have caught that. Kevin,
little,
you could have caught that.
Play action fake
Look,
going on right
total
there.
Broken play. That was the play, though. That was the X's and O's. That wasn't Ocho.
I know.
So for me, the 9-yard comeback like tonight,
coverage.
The 9-yard comeback like was so much more telling about those two being more on the same page. That's precision. That's timing. And you saw a little bit of that. You finally saw some chemistry between Brady and Ocho Cinco. I thought that was promising. I also thought the play down the left sideline where Brady just overthrew Ocho Cinco, he just missed it. And it shows you they're just a tick off. So if you want to be a negative Nancy, you want to be glass half empty,
whoa,
you say, oh, Chad Ocho Cinco has lost a step, and maybe he would have created more separation if he were still a Pro Bowl receiver. Or maybe the timing is just off and Brady's not in sync with him yet. That's why he overthrew him. But you know what? I'd look at it as saying they just missed.
Maybe Brady just didn't put it on him.
So that's more, honestly, on that play, that's more what I think it is. Sure, Ocho didn't give him a big window to throw into.
Because I think, yeah, but I think there were, like, it's Tom Brady, man. There was room for him to get that football in there.
Trust me, I think there was room, but I just think it was an overthrow by Brady. I'd chalk it up to the exact same thing. I agree with you on that.
That's one of those when 12 points at his chest and just says, hey, you know what? You did your job. You got open. I missed you. On to the next play.
No, I mean, that part of it, I agree with, Kevin. And that part of it, I just think it was a simple overthrow, in all honesty, from Tom Brady.
By the way, we haven't mentioned it on the air yet, but we're in the Subway Fresh broadcast studio,
uh-huh,
and it's just fitting that Adam Jones has a fresh new do, a fresh new haircut for this fresh postgame show.
It's not bad, right?
No, it's pretty sweet.
It's
definitely a made-for-TV special, though.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
What are you saying? We should get some cameras in here?
Absolutely. We have cameras in here. Might as well simulcast. We could get Ferreira on that.
Honestly, nobody wants to see that. If we're being honest, Kevin, nobody wants to see that.
Well, I'm hidden behind the glass, so nobody has to look at me, but I don't know.
What are you saying? That's better for that? Nobody wants to look at me.
Nobody wants to look at me.
That's what I'm telling you.
The reason I got into radio is my dad told me I had a face for radio, so I took it literally. I went. And I'm trying to make it, Jones.
That's all we're both trying to do is make it.
Hey,
look, we're both in the same category on that one. You can give us a call. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Again, the good, those guys on the defensive line, Haynesworth and Ellis, you got to look at them. Brady and Ocho, the chemistry. I also thought Matt Slater was in the good column tonight. 64-yard reception, big tackle on special teams. I think he secured a spot on the roster if it wasn't already secure after his performance last week. The bad was just going to be Brian Hoyer. I was kind of writing this up at the end of the third quarter, and I'm like, all right, Hoyer's looked terrible. And Mallett came in and made a couple of throws. I'm like, all right, it's going to be Hoyer. It wound up being both quarterbacks. And that last drive by Mallett was atrocious. And I thought one of the emailers put it best. It's just, it's knowing the down and distance. It's knowing the situation at the end of the game. You have 2 minutes left in the game, and he's holding onto the football under intense pressure. And it's just like, look, even if the offensive line isn't doing a great job protecting you, A, I thought they gave him enough time to go through a progression and get rid of it. And even if you're under pressure, you can't be taking sacks at that point in the game. I thought it was just a total lack of awareness from Mallett at the end of the game. So for me, both backup quarterbacks were on that list. And Kevin, that's 2 weeks in a row I've had both backup quarterbacks on this list.
They were on the, the explicative, or however you say it,
yeah,
word that I can't say.
I just think that after that Jacksonville game, remember, everybody was so high. People were like, oh, maybe they'll flip Hoyer for a high draft pick.
You were hearing a lot of like 16-0 after that Jacksonville
game. Remember who it was. I can't remember the writer on ESPN.com, but he went through all the backup quarterback situations in the NFL, and it was like Hoyer was like the number three backup on this guy's list. I can't remember the name of the guy. We spent some time talking about it on ESPN Boston Radio during the week, noon to two on ESPNBoston.com. And I bought into it, and I still think Hoyer is a nice backup quarterback. I still do. But certainly these last 2 weeks, and even starting in the Tampa game for Hoyer, that was the ugly one where he came in, substituted for Brady midway through the drive, and you're just sitting there going, ugh. Like, it wasn't a great game out of Hoyer. And I think since that Jacksonville game, both these guys have progressed in the wrong direction. I think Mallett was more egregious tonight. Like, Hoyer was under duress all night. I think that was more on the offensive line. Mallett had guys breathing down his neck.
I tell you
but
what,
Kevin, he was holding onto the ball all day long, and you have to know the situation at the end of the game. I said this earlier. I think it's pretty apt, just a total lack of awareness from a rookie quarterback.
We flipped the calendar here into September, and we're getting ready for the Drew Bledsoe induction at the Hall of Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon.
Yeah.
Presented by Raytheon.
And that's coming up there on September 17th, and, you know, Drew's kind of, he hasn't been around, but we've sent some film crews out to Montana at his ranch and, you know, caught up with him and trying to basically just pump this whole Hall induction ceremony. And I think Mallett is, you know, just trying to do his best Drew
doing
impression.
Doing his Bledsoe tribute.
To pay homage to him, you know, as one of his forefathers, one of his elders that have come before him.
Stand in the pocket, tap the football.
No tap yet, though. We should get on him about that, you know, if you're going
to
do
a dead ringer for Bledsoe.
Yeah, authentic
tap
Bledsoe.
That ball.
And it's like not even a tap. It's like a pat. It's like it's like a dog, like a small lap dog in your hand. And it's unfortunate.
It really is more of a pat. It's less of a. It's more of a pat. It's a little more gentle than.
Yeah, it's more of a caressing pat than I'm going to tap you on.
But
the
you
shoulder.
Hear a lot of people make those Bledsoe comparisons, Kevin, and I think you start to see them. I think tonight, and even in earlier preseason, like you can sort of see where they come from. The guy's a cannon for an arm. He just looks uncomfortable in the pocket.
He's
just
like,
looks uncomfortable.
In that awful Peyton Manning commercial.
And it's like, you know where he's throwing. Like, I know, I'm watching Ryan Mallett, and it's like, okay, he's looking left. He's looking to this receiver. It's like just so obvious the progressions he's going through. And look, he's four games, no regular season, just four preseason games into his career. But I'm just saying, you can just kind of tell, and maybe this should be expected, a bit robotic from Mallett. And I don't mind if he misses throws, I don't. But when he's taking sacks at the end of a football game, when you have a chance to go get the game-winning field goal, That would make me a little nervous. That's why the backup quarterbacks were at the top of my bad list. I also have Brandon Merriweather on there. And we talked about this a few moments ago, where Merriweather didn't play extensively until the second half. And Kevin, you're the one who told me he was griping with reporters today, saying, hey, I don't really know my role with this club. I don't really know where I stand.
Sounded like a little bit like Randy Moss on the way out the door. Like, I don't know, you know, where I fit in or... You know, if I'm respected or if I'm wanted on this team, that's the vibe that I'm getting from a lot of these tweets down here.
So I got to tell you, my gut instinct on this is it's one of two things. It's either they just honestly wanted to look at Josh Barrett, who hasn't played a ton in the preseason. They just wanted to evaluate him, see how he fits in there. And, you know, really get a look at what you can get out of Josh Barrett, because he's arguably fighting for a spot at the bottom of the roster. Along with James Ahedibo, you would think. Those guys are kind of fighting for a spot. It seems like Sergio Brown surged ahead of those guys. So you get a look at Chung and Barrett out there at the beginning of the game, and I thought that looked okay. I thought that looked okay against the Giants' second unit. But that's my first takeaway is, okay, they probably wanted to evaluate some of these bottom-of-the-roster safeties and really get a look at Barrett or Ahedibo, who's on this team, who's going to make this club. So that was my first instinct on that. I also... And this one has been a common theme throughout this entire training camp. But I want to light a fire under the ass of Brandon Merriweather. Like, hey, Brandon, you know what? If you don't listen to the coaching staff and, you know, you're not going to sit here and take our coaching or listen to the way we're instructing you or listen to what we're instructing you to do, then you're going to sit. And maybe it's that one final time to really try to send a message to Brandon Merriweather that, hey, if you don't listen to us, we have other guys on this roster who we don't dislike and who we believe in. And you wonder if that's kind of the last straw trying to motivate Brandon Merriweather. If that's the case, it's a sad commentary on Merriweather. They have to keep going back to that well and continue to try to motivate him. But I wonder if that's part of it as well, part of the decision to start Barrett tonight.
So let's play, you know, let's go along with this theory here and say that that is the true reason behind Barrett playing a lot, Merriweather not getting into the second half and playing late in the game and all that jazz. Now, if you're on the Patriots coaching staff, here, Jones, and you're trying to light a fire under his ass, and you use this tactic as a last straw maneuver, and he comes out and you hear him telling reporters, basically bitching and moaning to reporters, that he doesn't know where he stands, he doesn't know what his future is, instead of, you know what, they went in a certain direction tonight, I made the most of my opportunities, and we'll see where the cards fall.
So
you know what I mean? It's not the kind of reaction you want to hear as a coach.
I would say yes, I would agree with that, but also, Kevin, I don't know. I mean, does he know his role? I mean, clearly, I can't sit here and predict what Brandon Merriweather's role is going to be. I think he's going to play. I think he's going to be your starting safety next to Pat Chung, but do I honestly know that? No. And neither does Merriweather. So look, I think part of what they're trying to do is motivate him and get him ticked off and say, hey, you want to be out on the field. Now, maybe you could have handled it a little better, but I think you get some of that fire out of Merriweather where he says, hey, yeah, I don't know my role. And maybe he has to channel it and get a little ticked off at the coaching staff to go out there and play and prove that he needs to be the starting safety on this team. Maybe that's part of it as well. So I do think you can look at that in a couple of different ways, though I would tend to lean the way you're looking at it. Poor attitude after getting benched, that's not ideal. I also wonder if they really wanted to send a message to Merriweather, what's a better way to send a message? Not play him at all or play him in the second half?
Probably
playing him in the second
half.
Yeah,
it's kind of an insult type thing. It's like, oh,
it is, right? Because if you don't play him at all, Merriweather's sitting there going, I got it made in the shade. I'm on this team.
Exactly. And he's playing with all the guys that are Jags.
Yeah, it was a dumb question by me. It's getting late. It was a dumb question by me.
Dude, what are you talking about? You drank like three cups of coffee. You're all you're fired up. I can feel the energy. Your face is turning red.
Also, in terms of the bad, not just Merriweather and not just the backup quarterback, some of those roster bubble guys, like some guys who can't be feeling great about themselves tonight. I know Tyquan Underwood flashed a little bit in the passing game. I know he did, but he also had that killer back-breaking penalty on what should have been Gary Guyton's touchdown on the muff punt by, who was it on the Giants?
12.
Jernigan.
Jernigan's
the muff punt by him, and Guyton falls right up, not falls on it, but scoops it right up, and he's off to the races, just like that Bengals game. Game one last year, remember that? You see just the speed.
Oh.
From Gary Guyton pulling away from offensive players.
Yeah.
So that should have been a touchdown for the Patriots. And you know what? Honestly, if this were a regular season game, certainly it would have played out differently. But say that was a regular season game and you take a touchdown off the board and you end up losing by a point. I don't know. Tyquan Underwood couldn't be feeling good about himself. So I know he flashed in the passing game a little bit, and I'd say that was good from Tyquan Underwood, but that penalty was a total backbreaker. Too many men on the field didn't get outside the numbers.
He also had a couple balls that, you know, Mallett didn't exactly hit him on the numbers, but balls that he could have caught that he didn't. And, I mean, that kind of stood out to me. He had one that hit him in the knee that was just kind of an awkward-looking play.
I would just say that Underwood can't be feeling safe about his roster spot tonight. That penalty, you have to know, didn't help him. Another guy, and I don't think he was on the team anyway. He's fighting an uphill battle in terms of bodies, in terms of roster spots. But you know what? Ridley hasn't played, Kevin, and Morris was knocked out of this game tonight and didn't return. We don't know if it's a concussion. We don't know what it is. That's certainly what it seemed like.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Maybe Richard Medlin in a numbers game, it would have worked out with some of the injuries. And he had that big fumble tonight that the Giants returned for what turned out to be their game-winning touchdown. They went for 2 points. They were able to convert. So, he's another guy on the roster who I don't think could be feeling great about himself, or on the roster bubble, I should say, who I don't think can be feeling great about himself.
Yeah, that was a tough play to watch. It was really one of those unforced errors, in my opinion. It didn't look like a particularly bone-jarring hit or helmet on ball where it's just one of those inevitable things. And you know what, Adam? Like, watching him finish out that game, he ran a little bit tentatively because he's sitting there running with both arms, you know,
trying to protect the ball.
You know, locked around the ball instead of focusing on where he's supposed to go and what hole he's supposed to. He was just basically running into the pile and keeping the ball protected and falling over, which isn't going to win anybody over.
And the final thing that was just an obvious debacle was the fake punt from the New York Giants. And I joked about this. I said Belichick could probably cut everybody on the field if he could. Like yeah. all of those guys. And I guess I'd have to go back and watch the tape on everybody who was out on the field. But I know Brandon Tate.
So ridiculous.
I know Brandon Tate was one of the guys trying to.
He was the last line of defense because he was trying to trace down
Scott.
He was set to return on that play. So he was approaching Scott coming at him and, you know, basically was square to him and didn't even really get a hand on him. So that shows you how valuable Brandon Tate would be trying to cover a kick.
He was the guy trying
punch.
To chase down Darrell Scott.
Yeah.
And he was unable to do it. So he's just one of the players who jumped out on that play.
And on the flip side, you know, he's coming at the guy and is already in position to make the play and whiffs completely, doesn't even get a hand on the guy. And there was a position where Zoltan Mesko was one-on-one with the return man tonight and got the job done and pushed him out of bounds.
Yeah, and look, we'll get into our injured because Mesko was a little dinged up on that play. And again, we do good, bad, injured. At the top of every Patriots.com postgame show, just want to reiterate some of this in case you're just tuning in here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones and Kevin Collins with you for about 10 more minutes here live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. But I do want to get to some of those injured players. And a couple of guys who were dinged up but remained in the game, Zoltan Mesko made that tackle, as Kevin pointed out, on the sideline, got his fingers taped back up, and remained in the game, not only as a punter, but also as the primary holder. And you also saw Pat Chung, and I don't know if he got the wind knocked out of him, I don't know what it was, but you saw Chung leave the game and then come back in, and I agree with Kevin, that was a play where if you're a Patriots fan, you kind of hold your breath, because James Sanders winds up in Atlanta, you're already thin at that position even when Sanders was here. And I just think that that was one where you kind of breathed a sigh of relief when Pat Chung was back in the game. So those are two guys who were dinged up in the game and returned. Three who were dinged up and did not return. Kyle Arrington, right leg injury, right on the very first special teams play of the game. And again, the only unfortunate thing about that, or the most unfortunate thing about that, outside of Arrington being dinged up, is that you don't know how the Patriots were approaching this game. In other words, was Dowling actually going to start? Or did he only start because Arrington couldn't come out to start that game because he was dinged up on the first play of the game? We won't know the answer to that. Also, other players who were dinged up and didn't return, Sammy Morris and Nico Koutavidis, and I think both were apparent concussions, or I should say it looked like both were apparent concussions. Neither returned. They were both slow to get to their feet after big hits to the head. So you hate to speculate, but that's certainly what it looked like. Neither of those guys returned. And Koutavidis, somebody trying to work his way on the roster. An injury like that, that's not going to help. Same thing with Sammy Morris. We don't know what Stephen Ridley's injury situation is. When you get dinged up the last week of the preseason, those are two guys who are on the bubble fighting for a spot. And you know what? Those injuries could be the final blow for both of those players. So that gets you up to speed on the guys who were injured in the game. But obviously, Kevin, it was headlined by Arrington.
Yeah, I mean, could be a tough loss, like you said, especially with how thin the secondary is, not only at safety but at cornerback and Will Hype being gone. I would hate to see Butler as anything more than he is right now.
Isn't he totally on this team?
I think he has to be.
Like, there's no doubt in my mind he's on this team, and
that
sucks.
It's going to be by default. I mean, that's, as Bill would say,
it is what it is.
And it's, as you just said, Adam, I don't know if I could put it any better. It does suck.
He's on the team, and it sucks. I mean, unless Molden, who, how telling would this be? Molden comes in, what, yesterday? 2 days ago? When did they sign him?
Made a couple pass breakups tonight.
Comes right in, plays in sub-packages immediately. I mean, you have to imagine he played a lot because the coaches want to get a look at him.
Yep.
Has to be the case, right? But, I mean, how bad would that suck for Butler if Molden comes right in, gets 2 days under his belt, and they say, you know what, this kid's shown more than Butler has.
Yeah.
But I think at this point, push comes to shove, Butler's on this roster.
Yeah,
and that's just, that's because they cut Will Hype. There are other injuries. You kind of have to keep him around.
And it's going to be a frustrating thing for Patriots fans to watch if indeed this injury to Arrington keeps him out for a prolonged period of time. And you see Butler in games, in close games, you know, trying to cover guys and make plays when it counts. It's not going to be a pleasant experience unless he turns some sort of miraculous year. What is it? Year three now?
Yes.
Year three corner. And like we've discussed, like, let's be fair here. The guy's athletic. He can run up and down the field with people. But for some reason,
He's in a receiver's hip pocket. He doesn't make the play.
He doesn't have the chromosome, like, of a typical cornerback or of a good cornerback that, I need to get my hand in there and deflect that ball. Or I need to, you know what? This guy's going to make this play. I need to get a hand in there and rip that ball free. Or flash in front of him. He just... it's like he's standing behind the guy in a lot of routes, Adam, and he's almost being boxed out.
No,
it just
Kevin,
succumbs
I don't,
to
look,
the guy.
It's simplistic to say, but I think it's pretty accurate. Some guys have that knack. Some guys have those ball skills, and some guys don't.
And
I think it's pretty clear that Butler
and
doesn't.
The frustrating thing is, like, some guys have the ball skills, Adam, but they don't have the speed and the God-given ability in the agility to stay with some of these receivers. And for him to have that ability and not be able to at least make a play, what, half the time, a quarter of the time? It's like, what are you doing? How do you get through to him if you haven't got through to him
so
yet?
I'll tell you, I think he's on this roster, but that has to do with more of some of the guys around him. Bodden's dinged up. Arrington got dinged up tonight. I think it's more a product of that and for Darius Butler.
Could we say, you know, do we know what's going on with Lee Bodden? Probably not. Like, nobody's really leaked a story or anything like that. And it was very much similar last year where...
When did he got knocked out, like, what, the first series in Tampa, right?
Yeah, but I mean, last year, him being put on IR before the season started was a major shock. Nobody had a clue that the injury was as bad as it was. And I think the only thing we've heard is this year's injury doesn't have much to do with last year's injury, which is, I guess, good. But... after last year, I can't say that I would be stunned at this point if he ended up on the PUP list and we aren't going to see him till week 7 or he ends up cut or on IR. I can't say I'd be shocked.
I would say the fact that we know nothing is not a good sign with Lee Bodden. I don't want to speculate on PUP or speculate on IR or anything like that, but I would say the fact that we have no idea, we haven't seen him since the beginning of that Tampa game at practice and certainly in games, bode well.
I'm thinking PUP is a best-case scenario for him right now. Because I could easily see him get cut, or I could easily see him get put on IR.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that's something where we go back to the question off the top of the show. Like, are they going to have to throw Rozai Dowling? They might. Like, if he's hurt and given Arrington's injury tonight, that means you're probably throwing Rozai Dowling to the Wolves. That's probably what that means.
Lighten up the secondary like a Christmas tree all over again.
And look, Dowling, what was the big knock on him coming into the league? Injury prone.
Yeah, can't stay on the field.
So what'd he do? He got out there first day on the field, injured. Doesn't come back out tonight in his first game, had to leave the game to get his hamstring worked on.
Yep.
So, you know, that would give me a bit of pause.
Not a good start.
As it pertains to Rozai Dowling as well.
Will.
Absolute red flag. It is the Patriots.com postgame show. Adam Jones, Kevin Collins here for a couple more minutes. Live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio@patriots.com. I do want to begin to answer a question that I posed earlier in the program, and it's James Sanders, and why did the Patriots decide to cut him? And not just why did they decide to cut him, but why now? Like, why now? Like, that's the one thing that I keep going back to with Sanders. I don't think he had to be on this team, and I think he was an okay player. That's the best way to put it. I think he was meh. Like, he didn't really give up a ton of big plays, but he didn't exactly make a ton of plays either. So for me, that's the definition of meh. At least Merriweather every once in a while will give you a big hit. Or he'll get an interception. And I understand he also has the propensity to give up a big play. He'll give you that F game, right? But he'll also give you that A game. And I just don't think Sanders was really that kind of guy. So I was already pretty indifferent when they cut him. But what I don't understand, and what I'm still trying to wrap my head around, is why when the Patriots already had pretty ample cap space, certainly they were already middle of the pack in the NFL. It's not like they were up against it, and they needed $3 million worth of wiggle room, and that's why they cut James Sanders. And I feel like that's sort of the narrative we've been hearing with why they cut James Sanders. Well, he had the 10th biggest cap figure on the team, and he just wasn't worth that. And I don't reject that at all. I actually agree with that. But if that's the case, why'd you wait till just before the fourth preseason game? Like, why didn't you do that a couple weeks ago?
Like you said, if there's another shoe to drop, whatever shoe that is that ends up walking through those doors isn't going to have much time to get ready to play.
And I'll tell you what wasn't an ideal wrinkle. If the narrative was, well, okay, the Patriots wanted to see what Sanders had coming back in here this season, and they saw that he lost a step. Well, if that's the case, how'd he pop up so quickly in Atlanta? And why was Kansas City knocking on his door if Atlanta didn't sign him?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, what that would tell me is that his physical checked out in Atlanta. So maybe he has lost a step, but the Falcons certainly didn't see any red flags by bringing him in. They did it immediately, and Kansas City was lined up next. So I think the easiest answer, and I think the right answer, is that the Patriots are looking to lock up one of these guys, and my guess would be it's Mayo, and maybe it's Welker as well. But my guess would be that an extension for Jerod Mayo, not too far off, not too far around the corner. And that's part of the reason why the Patriots gave themselves some wiggle room. That's the only answer that makes any sense.
There's your take.
Yeah, but Kevin, it's the only answer that makes any sense,
okay,
right? Like, if they wanted to bring in a safety, wouldn't they have done it by now? Like, if they wanted to bring in Darren Sharper or Ronaldo, wouldn't they be here?
I hope for...
If they want to bring in a lineman, wouldn't they be here? Or are they waiting for other teams to make their cuts here in a couple of days?
I think you're making a valid point, but I hope for this season's sake there is that other shoe, and it comes in the form of a safety that's played somewhere that can contribute this year.
So certainly that wouldn't hurt. Maybe you can do both. Maybe you can bring in an interior offensive lineman and a safety. I think that an extension for someone like Mayo should be pretty high on this team's priority list. I think it is, and I think it should be. And I think that's part of the reason why the timing of James Sanders being cut came about this week. That'll just about do it for us here on the Patriots.com postgame show. Adam Jones with you here, wrapping things up following the Patriots' 18-17 loss to the New York Giants. They finished the preseason at 2-2. We will talk to you following the Patriots' regular season opener Monday, September 12th, down in Miami. We'll be looking forward to that. Our thanks to Kevin Collins, also Matt LaPan, for working with us here on the program. And we'll talk to you following Patriots-Miami Dolphins Week 1 here on Patriots.com.
This has been the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week. Tuesday through Thursday, starting at noon, it's PFW in Progress, Patriots Playbook, and the Pete Sheppard Show. Monday, September 12th, the Patriots open the 2011 season in Miami on Monday Night Football. Kickoff between the Patriots and Dolphins is set for 7 p.m. Stay tuned for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.